Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is your girl, DJ Carmi of KPTR, Party Train Radio. And today we have with us Antonio Scott, and you are tuned into KPTR, The Truth Behind the Music. And first of all, I just want to say, Antonio, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So we want to tell the people a little bit about you, maybe your history, before we really get deep into the interview. How long have you been doing comedy, Antonio?
I have been in the comedy game for 20 years, man, 20 great years.
Wow. That's a long time. It's still going strong, huh?
Still going, still going. Party don't stop.
Okay, so we want to go back a little bit and talk about you growing up. When did you realize you had this little niche to make people laugh?
When I was about 8 years old, funny story, my dad bought Eddie Murphy Raw when I was about eight. And he sat down and he let me watch it. And I said to myself then, I said, man, I could do this. You know, and I always was a class clown before I saw that anyway. So, you know, watching Raw just brought it out of me.
Right. So do you remember a funny moment as a child where you made the family laugh or something happened?
I can remember every year from the time I was about maybe 7 to the time I was about 12. We used to give my mom a birthday party, and I would do stand-up at my mom's birthday party. And started practicing what I was doing, and it was cool because she saw that potential then, but she was like, look, I don't want you quitting school or anything for comedy, but I was like, I ain't gonna quit school. I want to go to school so I can get better at it. And after that, man, the sky's been the limit.
Right. So, what were you doing growing up? I know you probably had other jobs before you became a comedian, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What were some of the jobs?
I've done hotel work. I've been in the United States military. I've done 6 years in the United States military.
Oh.
I have 2 degrees.
Oh.
I have a bachelor's degree and I have an associate's degree. My associate's is in criminal justice. Okay. My bachelor is in business management. So I have 2 degrees. I'm actually a master plumber by trade, but I've done a lot of warehouse work and worked for, you know, a couple of different municipalities, did some hotel work, you know, as time went on, you know, as I developed my craft.
Right. And when did that happen? When did you start getting into the comedian world or the comedy world?
I was about 17. Started doing comedy at about 17. Okay. Started doing open mic. Yes.
Hey, well, who introduced you to it? I mean, how did you actually get started?
Actually, I kind of stumbled over this comedy club one night. I was about 17, and they had a open mic night this particular night. And you had to be 21 to get in the club. And, you know, I had a fake ID and the guy let me in. And, you know, I got on stage and I was doing all the open mic stuff and was getting booed. But I was like, oh, man, maybe this not cut out for me. But, you know, I was like, well, you know what? What's the key going to make you stronger? So, you know, I kept going after a while till I found my niche.
Awesome. But the key point, though, you did get booed in the beginning. This is what a lot of, you know, up-and-coming comedians are not ready for. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's their worst fear. So
right.
Don't let the first boo kill you.
Yeah.
All right. Now, did you come up with your own material?
Yeah, I write all my own stuff. My whole stage name, my stage name is Poe Pimp. And there was just a whole genre of everything that was about me. So when I go on stage, my jokes are my life story, the things that I've experienced, the things that I've gone through, the things that I've dealt with.
Gotcha. And we forgot to mention your location. You can let them know where you're from.
I am from Savannah, Georgia, the 912 Seaport.
That's right, that Georgia.
That's right.
I'm actually from Georgia myself.
Okay.
All right,
Georgia
so,
girl, eh?
Absolutely, the Georgia peach. I want to know, when did you tell us about a time when you felt like, yeah, this is going to be for me? Like, when was your most successful time on stage where you were like, yeah, they digging me, so this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
Right around 2004, about 2004, 2005, I was doing a show in Savannah, Georgia. And that night they had a really good headliner, somebody who I was used to seeing on Comic View and Def Comedy Jam. And I got on stage that night, and my mind was set on impressing this guy so much that he was going to sign me that night. And I impressed him. I didn't get signed, but I impressed him, you know. So I was like, you know what, I can do this. I'm used to getting people's attention, and once I got their attention, everything else is easy.
Right. And also want to let the audience or the listeners know that you have worked with quite a few people that are already, you know, I'll say famous. Like, there's AJ Johnson. I saw that in your bio.
Yes.
And,
yes, I work with
AJ Johnson. You work with Brubman.
Yes.
Brubman, Reginald Ballard from Martin. What was it like working with him?
Man, that dude is so cool. He is the humblest dude you ever want to meet, man. And he doesn't forget anything.
Really?
He doesn't forget people. He give you your props. He's not that guy who you meet him today and then you see him a few years down the line and he goes, nah, I don't remember you. He knows exactly who you are. You know, he knows where he met you at. He knows the conversation you talked about, you know, and, like, I got his personal phone number, so I can actually call him up and just chop it up with him and get advice from him.
Right. Is Brubman still doing stand-up, or do you know?
Yeah, he's still doing stand-up. He's still doing stand-up, and he's doing acting.
Oh, okay. And acting, too. I just remember Brubman on Martin, and every time I seen him, this calmness, this comfy feeling came over me. He was just down, you know, a cool dude. Even, you know, on Martin.
See, you know, a lot of people know him from Martin, but I know him from Menace of Society. I know him from Class Act, because he was also in those movies, and he was in the Bernie Mac show.
You know what? I forgot all about that. He sure was in the Bernie Mac show. Okay, so what was it like working with AJ?
AJ Johnson, man, he's a cool cat. I met him, and he came to do a show in Savannah. I actually picked him up from his hotel, you know, and the whole time we was in the car, we was roasting each other up until the point we got on stage, man. We was roasting each other the whole time. And I was like, man, how cool is this that I could sit here and just roast Ezell? You know, what I was thinking, you know. And like, we was giving it to each other, and some people who was in the car with me was like, man, y'all crazy, man. How y'all don't even know each other. That was our first time ever meeting, man. And, like, to this day, he come to Savannah, he looked me up, you know. He was like, hey, man, I'm in town. What's up? Let's chop it up. So that's what we do.
Oh, man, that's what's up. Very incredible story. Now, I know I didn't ask you this early on, but who would you say your biggest influences are in comedy?
Oh, man, my biggest influences, well, me, my personal idol is Bernie Mac, just because Bernie Mac changed the game of comedy, you know. He brought a style of stand-up where he brought back that no-fear, edgy, raw comedy that people had gotten away from and didn't want to talk about. He brought that back, you know, him, Chris Rock. Chris Rock's a beast, man. He's edgy. He's that guy who just he gonna give it to you straight, whether you like it or not, man. I love Chris Rock.
Right. I love Chris Rock, too, because you're right. He just straight out give it to you raw. So did Bernie Mac, you know, with the funny edge. And Eddie Griffin, he don't play either. He'll let you know.
Oh, yeah,
you know.
Eddie, you know what? I really think Eddie Griffin is underrated, man. That dude is a genius in my book, man. I really think he's underrated. I think they need to give him way more credit than what they give him in the comedy, where Eddie Griffin's a beast, man.
I don't think they're ready for Eddie like that because he's too honest. You know, sometimes being too honest is a threat, and I'll leave it at that.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Well,
so just to watch some. Go ahead.
Recently, I worked with Cat Williams, and Cat Williams is the exact same way.
Yeah, Cat is too. You know, sometimes you have to be careful. You really do. Another question. In your opinion, what are some of the biggest mistakes that new comedians make today?
Some of the biggest mistakes that comedians can make is feeling like they're Ike. And basically, Ike is I know everything. If you feel like you know everything, then you don't need to do the job anymore. If you ever get to the point where you're not nervous anymore about doing a show, then you need to get out of this business, because no audience is the same. I don't care how funny you are. No audience will ever be the same. And you can have 10 people, you can have the same 10 people see you all the time, and they can still feel differently about you every time they see you. So, you know, once certain things have left, that humbleness is gone, get out of the business.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, how do you handle a situation like, I know you say the crowd's changed, but how do you handle a situation where the crowd is just not reacting, they're not really laughing as much? How do you, you know, what do you do in that case?
With me, a lot of times, I kind of sit out in the audience before I go on stage just to get a feel for them, so I'll know what they're looking for. You know, that way I can say, okay, well, I'm gonna throw these two or three jokes that I'll throw at a crowd first and see what they're more receptive to.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever they're more receptive to, that's the flow that I keep going with them at, you know, because a couple of weeks ago I had a show and it was a gospel show, but the people who were there really wasn't into the whole I want to hear Christian jokes type thing, you know. So then I had to take it a little urban and got a little raw with them, but still kept it clean and kept it funny, so they enjoyed it, you know. And I was like, all right, cool. But if I hadn't sat out in the crowd to realize that type of crowd it was and that's what they wanted, now they got up there and done something wrong, it made me look like, well, who is this guy and why is he here?
Right. Do you deal with a lot of hecklers?
Not really. But if they come my way, they'll know why I'm the comedian on stage. I promise you that.
I heard that. All right, guys, we are now up on halftime, and what we're going to do is play a small clip so you can hear Antonio Poe Pimp Scott at his best, and we're going to play that, and then once we come back, we're going to let Antonio completely have the floor and maybe give some advice to up-and-coming comedians. So here we go, the Prince of Comedy.
You guys ready for your next contestant?
Yes!
That was awful.
You guys ready for your next contestant?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How y'all doing? This is the Affordable Care Act part of the show. I got problem situations, and we're going to talk about them real quick. One of my problems is this. I'm tired of everybody keep asking me what I think about Barack Obama being the first black president. I tell you what I think. I think it's another black family getting the government house I did. I really did. He didn't appeal to my demographic. See, if I was the first black person, you know what I'd have done? Legalized marijuana. But then I raised the price of snacks. You can get a half a chip of potatoes, it'd be like $25. Cause y'all don't like being a Democrat. Democrats not fun. Republicans are fun. Former Vice President of the United States of America, Dick Cheney, who just got a new heart, shot a man in his face and got away with it. Got away. But the Democrat, Bill Clinton, when he shot that woman in the face, they impeached him. That wasn't right. It wasn't right. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with condoms. Now, I've come to realize that condoms, fellas, are just like seatbelts. At first, you don't want to wear them. After a while, you get used to them. And in the end, they'll save your life. They will. But I was in Walmart the other day, and I saw something. I saw condoms on the shelf. They had Trojan, they had Magnum, they had all kinds of condoms. But I saw something. I said, condoms come in a 6-pack, an 8-pack, and a 12-pack. And it made me think. 6, 8, 12. So I thought about it. I said, a 6-pack got to be for my Latino brothers. That's for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and off on Sunday. Then I said, the 8-pack got to be for African Americans. That's for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and twice on Sunday. And then the 12-pack, I said, got to be for my Caucasian brothers. That's for January, February, March, April, May. I'm just saying. I don't like the stereotypes. I got problems, man. I got problems. I'm on my fourth marriage. Yeah, that's how I know I got problems. I'm on my fourth marriage. My first three wives died, killed or kicked the bucket. First wife, she died from mushroom poisoning. She did. Now my second wife, she also died from mushroom poisoning. My third wife, she died from blunt force trauma to the head. She went eat the mushrooms. So now my fourth wife has taught me some things. She said, what it took to get your baby hooked, it takes the same thing to keep them. So it made me realize something. If you buy flowers and candy all the time, you got to keep buying flowers and candy in order for them to appreciate what you're doing. So me, I'm a spontaneous kind of guy. I do stuff like have sex on bus benches and stuff like that. So I went home one day on my fifth wedding anniversary and said, what can I do for my anniversary? Came up with the perfect idea. I went to the tattoo parlor and had the words, I love you, tattooed on my ding-a-ling. Sure did. Went home, whipped it out, and showed it to her. She said, now ain't this something? She said, in the last 5 years, you done told me what to do, what to say, and where to go, and now you want to come home and put words in my mouth, and I'm not going to say it for it no more. I got problems. That's not what a marriage is supposed to be like. I got problems. I tell you what else I got problems with, man. I got problems with people that got communication problems. I used to be a foreman on this construction site, and I had the dumbest worker in the world with me. But I thought about something. Maybe he wasn't dumb, I was a dummy. He made me look like a dummy. I was sitting down on the ground one day, he was up on the scaffold, and I told him, I said, I need to see you. And he did this. I said, what the hell? I said, he don't understand what I'm saying. I said, I need to see you. He said, I said, okay, he's going to be disorderly and disgruntled, and I'm not having it. So I went up to the top of the scaffold. I said, did you understand what I said? I said, I need to see you. He said, yeah, I told you I was coming. Hey, I'm Antonio Scott, man. You all have a great night. I love y'all.
All right, the Prince of Comedy, Antonio Scott, man, you are funny.
Thank
hilarious.
Thank
no problem. So, Antonio, what do you have coming up here? When is your next show?
My next show will be on the last Friday of July, which is this Friday, actually, the 28th. at the Ritchie's Lounge in Savannah, Georgia. Then I have another show August the 5th at the 201 Topaz Lounge in Savannah, Georgia. I have another show August the 11th in Jacksonville, Florida. I have another show August the 18th in Birmingham, Alabama, and then August 26th in Atlanta, Georgia.
As you can see, this is one of the hardest working stand-up comedians in the industry. So he just laid out 4 or 5 dates. Most people be like, you know what? Just go check my website. but also, Antonio, let them know how to reach you in case they do want to book you. Like, what are your social media handles?
I am on Facebook at Antonio Pope Pimp Scott on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram at SAV Pope Pimp and Snapchat on The Real Pope Pimp.
All right, so make sure you guys are saving that information, because not only is he the Prince of Comedy doing regular stand-up comedy, but he also does gospel comedy. So for any, you know, churches or anybody that wants some good, clean laughter, definitely hit him up and get him at your venue. That's for sure. Antonio, can you give the up-and-coming comedians some advice, you know, on what to do as far as trying to become successful in this industry?
Definitely stay humble. That's number one. Stay humble, man. Don't ever become an idol or get beside yourself, because this is a game that will chew you up and spit you out, man. Definitely, you know, stay grinding. Don't let anybody deter you from your dreams, because a lot of folks will tell you that you can't do it or you won't be able to do it. Don't let anybody deter you from your dreams. For social media people who do make it through social media, you know, I salute you and definitely applaud you, but I want you to also continue to work at your craft, because as history has shown us, a lot of social media people tend to be good for, you know, 5 to 6 years, and then it's like they fall off. So, you know, the success will last as long as you got substance behind what you're doing from social media. So you can post videos and be funny. You can, you know, post songs and be funny and things of this nature. But when an audience wants to see you, they want to see you bring some substance to the stage. So definitely continue to work on your craft, and definitely continue to bring what people want, man, the truth behind your story, the truth behind your life, the truth behind your laughter when you go on stage, because that's what they want to see is the truth. They want to know who you are. They don't want to know the person behind you or who the other comedian was that inspired you. They want to know you. You know, just because you think you take a style from Kevin Hart, you may think you take your style from Cat Williams, or you may think you take your style from Chris Rock. If they want to see those people, that's who they would go see. They want to come see you. So definitely be you and be true to who you are.
I am so glad you said that, Antonio, because me personally, as a fan of comedy, I can't stand to hear another comedian do somebody else's skit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you can hear somebody doing a Bernie Mac line, like, dude, that's not your line. It's not going to be funny for me, because I know where it started. So I'm so
right.
glad that you told him to stay original. Don't use nobody else's stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you spilling out that information. Now, is there anything else you would like to say, any shout-outs or anything?
Man, definitely, man, give you a great big shout-out, DJ Cammy. You know, I appreciate you for having me on the show. Shout-out to Seaport, Savannah, Georgia, 912, man. Y'all know how I get down. Y'all know what I do, man. Just look for me here real soon on the Preach the Word Network. You know, doing a whole 30-minute gospel special coming your way, you know, for the first time ever. It's called From the Streets to the Scriptures, you know. So be on the lookout for that. That's my next big venture, best next big venture in genre. And also be on the lookout for my new reality show that's getting ready to come out here in the next couple of years on the major television network. You know, it's all about the lifestyle of comedy and what comics go through, you know, to become who they are in the industry. So definitely be on the lookout for that as well.
Oh, man, that's going to be hot. That is, I cannot wait. I'm really ready for the comedy reality show because I know it's going to be some drama and it's also going to be hilarious. Already know that. Antonio Popim Scott, thank you once again for coming on the show. We want to thank our listeners and fans for tuning in. Make sure that you check him out on social media, especially Facebook, Antonio Popim Scott. Make sure that if you are an independent artist and want to get your music heard, of course, you need to see me. Just email me, djcarmi@yahoo.com, or visit the website at www.partytrainradio.com. Thanks, Antonio. We hope to talk to you again
soon.
Thank
you. Oh, yeah, you will. Definitely.
You're welcome. Have a good day. All right. Have a good one.